The scripture this week is Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, and we'll read verse 16 through 20. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And let's bow in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you for the bright sunshine. Thank you for this very pleasant place to meet. We thank you, Lord, for each one who's here today. We ask, Lord, that you speak to each heart. Help each of us to be open and receptive to God's word. We pray your blessing on Pastor Miller as he preaches today. And we ask, Lord, that you just speak to our hearts from this text. Give us wisdom and guidance. And Lord, help us to be pleasing in your sight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This morning and next Sunday morning, I plan to preach on the subject of missions and missions giving, faith missions giving. As we are coming into a time of Thanksgiving, one of the great ways that we can demonstrate our thankfulness unto God is giving back to Him through the local church for our missionaries so the gospel can go around the world. Many have their missions conference about November and this time. Someday we will have a missions conference. We're going to plan that, and I think that would be a great thing. Now, faith missions giving is the way we here at Foothills Baptist Church support our missionaries. Whatever is given and designated to missionaries, that's how we support them on a monthly basis. We give them their monthly support out of that. And then also we have a percentage of our missions giving go into the Seedline ministry. And this is one that truly goes in many other places around the world. We're at 1.8 million, over 1.8 million John Romans. That means we have provided over 1.8 million gospel witness to go around the world. And we're just finishing up the Mandarin Gospel of John, and we rejoice in the Lord with that. Now, in many places where that will go, on the average, each booklet may be read by up to 7 individuals. I wish it was that way in Loveland. And in our communities. But in many of these other areas, that is what happens. And we rejoice in all of the work that our church family does to get those out. Then missionary special needs. From time to time, our missionaries have special needs. We have missionary guest speakers. And it is through our faith missions giving that we are able to provide for our missionaries in multiple ways. Now, when we speak of faith missions giving, we're not talking about our tithes and our offering for our local church. And I think this is important. We need to be faithful in our tithes and offering to maintain a strong local church that is able to meet its expenses and the support that is important here. We are commanded to give to God our tithes through the local church. I have known some churches that are very big on supporting missionaries that the basic expenses of the church really lag behind. I could mention certain churches that they gave wonderfully to missionaries and starved their pastors. That's unbiblical. That's not right. The first missionary you might say that you ought to support is your pastor. And that's where our tithes and offering are so crucial. Now, Malachi 3, verses 8 through 10 says, Will a man rob God? Now, that's an interesting question. How do you rob somebody you can't see? He is the invisible, eternal, almighty God. But it is possible. Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? The answer is, in tithes and offering. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. You know, we cannot outgive God. And as Mrs. Miller and I have always been faithful in our tithing, let me tell you how I learned how to tithe. I appreciate my parents and what they taught me as a child, and it has impacted me ever since. Now, this isn't going to sound like much, but when my folks did not have a lot of money to work with there on the home farm and ranch, but the first allowance that I ever had was a quarter. Now, most of my peers were getting $1 or $5, but all I got was a quarter. Well, let me say 25 cents. I normally got it in two dimes and a nickel. And my parents said, you tithe this. And they taught me to tithe it. Well, all I had was two dimes and a nickel. The tithe was 2.5. And so they also taught me how to give over and above my tithe because I'd always put the nickel in. And from that time forward, from as a child and children, you can start tithing. I don't know if you get allowances. I don't know what you have for earned income. But if you're a believer in Christ, God commands you, just as he does adults, to start tithing and putting it into the local church. And when we set our disciplines as children, many times they will follow us into our adulthood. And so we learned. And you know, there's been a lot of times we haven't had enough money to go around. We had to cut back on groceries, had to cut back on fuel, and a variety of things, but we never cut our tithe out. And God has always provided. And I praise my God for that. We believe this is God's plan for financing his local church ministry. Without a strong local church, we cannot be strong in upholding and providing for our missionaries. Now this morning, our focus is upon faith, missions, giving. And we're going to look at each of these three words and the importance and the significance of each of these words. And the first word that I want to begin with is obviously faith. Faith. The last couple of Thursday nights, I've dealt with a lesson entitled Qualities of Faith. And in Thessalonians, Paul was dealing with the church there, and he says that we don't want some things lacking in your faith. And I went with eight qualities through the New Testament primarily of qualities that ought not to be lacking in our faith. And a couple of things that I mentioned, that faith is so intricate in the believer's life. It is so much a part. Because you cannot be saved and become a Christian without faith. You can't get there by works. You can't get there by your money. You can't get there by your birth as far as who you're born to. I was born to Christian parents that were dedicated to the Lord, but that didn't get me saved. I had to come to that point in my life personally to realize I was a sinner, repent, and put my faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Faith. You can't be a Christian without faith. Likewise, as a believer, you can't please God without faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. And so faith is a very intricate part of who we are as Christians. And here we see how it fits into how we give and with missions. Tonight I'll be dealing with the book of Habakkuk. And when the prophet is to the point that he trembles and his stomach trembles, I don't know if this gave him an upset stomach or what, but his stomach trembles about the wrath of God to come and how God was going to judge evil. You know that it's going to be pretty serious. But it is Habakkuk, I believe, is the first one to use the phrase, the just shall live by faith. You'll find it quoted three times in the New Testament, once in Romans, once in Galatians, and once in Hebrews. And as believers, we have been justified by Christ, and now the just shall live by faith. So even when it comes into our giving, we live by faith. Faith means a firm conviction that saturates your soul. The soul represents the who you are as a person. You can't find the soul on an x-ray. You can't find it on an MRI or any other lab work or anything like that. The soul is who you are. We know you have a mind, or at least some people we may question, but I think everybody has a mind. They have emotions. They have a conscience. They have a will. And faith saturates every part of that, of who we are, and it compels personal surrender to God, and it transforms our total life and how we live. That's faith. God's grace is a transforming grace that changes our life. Faith, in regards to missions, is to have a strong conviction that Christ has commanded us to take the gospel around the world, to every creature. Now, we know as a smaller church like what we have, we're not going to be able to give the gospel to every creature around the world in every year. But the responsibility of a local church is to do everything that God will enable us to do, and to get the gospel to every person, whether around the corner or around the world, to provide the gospel and help the gospel get there as much as possible. And we want to strive to help it get there. This is not a faith limited to what we believe we can do. You see, that's living by sight. That's not faith. See, there are three things. What is it? Faith, hope, and love. At the end of 1 Corinthians 13, the only one of those that is eternal is love, because our faith will be sight. Our hope will be realized, and love continues. But here, we live and we give and grow by faith, and it's beyond what we can do. Can you imagine what George Mueller would have accomplished with his orphanage and the rest of his ministry if he only did what he could see he could do? The reason that he had such a tremendous ministry is because he had a tremendous faith in a marvelous God. I remember reading, bringing all of the orphan kids to the table, sitting down, and nothing in the cupboards, but sat down to the table and thanked the Lord for the food that he was about to provide. The door, somebody knocks on the door, and food is brought into the household. You see, that's faith. They didn't sit down and thank God for what they were going to have, knowing what was in the cupboards. They thanked God, knowing what God could provide and would provide. That is faith. The spirit of faith missions giving is demonstrated in 1 Samuel chapter 1. Let's go to the Old Testament. Now, we talk about faith missions giving, and this is a local church, a New Testament principle. But the principle of trusting God and having faith in God and giving through faith is a principle all down through created history. In 1 Samuel, in chapter 1, we read about a young lady that had no son. And in 1 Samuel chapter 1, and beginning with verse 4, and when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah, and I'll try to get that out right, Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and to her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. She hadn't had a child. Now back in that time, that was a very grievous thing, to have married and not be able to provide her husband with a son. That was very crucial. That was very important. And when there was polygamy. Now, just because the Bible records the polygamy in the Bible does not mean that God endorses it. He simply shows the blemishes as well as the good things of his people. But we have discovered many times when there is more than one wife, the wife that has the kids taunts the wife that doesn't. And even if there was no second, third, fourth, tenth, whatever wife, a wife that is unable to give her husband a son many times will grieve over that and wished she could give her husband a son. And we see that with Hannah. She was very grieved that she had not provided her husband with a son. So now drop down to verse 9. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow. Now let me stop here. Many people focus on the principle it's better to not vow than to make a vow and not keep your vow. And so they become so consumed with that principle that they're scared to make a vow unto God. God's not saying when he says it's better to not give a vow than to make a vow and not keep it. He's not saying don't make a vow. He's just telling you that when you make a vow, by God's grace, keep the vow. And so it's not wrong to make a vow. It just needs to be a godly, biblical vow, and then trust God to help you to keep it. Now here, Hannah made a vow. She vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou will indeed look on the afflictions of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon him. And then it continues that Eli saw this and thought she was drunk and had to be corrected on that. Now, do understand that when a wife made a vow like this, the husband could void it. But when she shared it with her husband, he confirmed it and said, we'll keep this vow when God provides. And then you will find down in verse 26 through 28, and this is after she had been given a child. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord as long as he liveth. He shall be lent to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. You know, here's some things we learn about the spirit of faith missions giving. She did not have a son to give to the Lord. She wasn't vowing to give something to God that she already had, but she didn't have a son. Here's something else. God did not command her to have a son, nor did he command her to give the son back to the Lord to serve at the temple. That was not commanded. But here is a lady that had such a heart for her husband, and furthermore, such a heart for her God. And you know, when we seek to reach out to God and please God and serve God and walk with God, it always has horizontal effects as well. It reaches the people around us. And it becomes a blessing to those around us and even beyond, because Samuel became a blessing to many people that she would have never known, never contacted. He became the priest, the next priest, and ministered to the nation of Israel. And so here, she did not have it to give. God did not require of her to give it, but she begged God to give her a son so she could give him to the Lord. You know, that's the spirit of faith missions. We have such a heart to want to work with God and serve God and see God's things happen that we ask God to give us even what we don't have, that we may give it back to Him, and we ask it in faith. Now here, she made a vow. If you want to make a vow, you can make a vow. You don't have to. You can simply say, God, this is what I will give. But keep it if you tell the Lord that. In some ways, that's a vow. Some people won't do it because they're not going to trust God that in case something tough comes and you have a choice between keeping and giving to missions versus maybe going a week without much for grocery money and wondering whether God is providing, we're scared to step out on faith, and we don't see how God's windows of heaven can be open and how we can be blessed. And our faith gets stifled. Here is a faith that pleased God and was rewarded by God. The second word, first word is faith. The second word is missions. This is a term used to express the work of taking the gospel to the uttermost part of the world, starting here at home. Now, here's something that is interesting. The word mission, missions, missionary, those three words are not found in the Bible. I did a double check. I checked on my computer with the word search in the Bible, and then I also checked the Strong's Concordance, because sometimes a computer misses a word now and then. And I know it's there, and I go to the old paper book, and they have it. Computers don't have it all. Sometimes you have to go old school to find it. And I did a double check. Those three words are not in the Bible. But they are English words that defined a biblical truth. You see, there's another word that we use in our doctrine that's not found in the Bible, and that's the word Trinity. The word Trinity speaks of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Three persons, one God. And we use an English term to define that or to represent that, and that English word is Trinity, the Trinity. Likewise, we use the word mission or missions or missionary as English words to define a New Testament Bible truth, and that is represented in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, as well as Acts 1:8. In Acts 1:8, we read, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." You see, God's plan in missions is to preach the gospel. This is what a missionary is: one who will go and preach the gospel, plant churches, baptize and disciple the new converts. Now, those last two are turned around. You preach the gospel, baptize and disciple the converts, and then plant the church so you have baptized believers in the church. But this is what missions is all about. And let me say this. In the 50 years of our church, we celebrated our 50th anniversary. I am not aware that Foothills Baptist Church has planted, given birth to another church. One of the things that we're looking at with bringing our church families together is now the opportunity. Brother Garner has a heart to help with church planting. And we're hoping that he'll be able to raise the support. We're hoping that we'll be able to help support him in being able. We're asking God to help us do this. Wouldn't it be exciting within a couple of years, we're planting a church? Amen. Let me try that again. That was pretty weak. Wouldn't it be exciting within a couple of years, we're in the process of planting a new church? Amen. That's right. Thank you. We ought to be excited about that. You see, this is what missions is about. We are helping our missionaries who are on the field doing this very thing. But we would like, as a church, for this church to reproduce itself and plant another church where there is a great need. And this is what missions is all about. We are motivated, inspired by a sympathetic heart to Christ. This isn't just something we ought to do because that's what churches do, but we want to do it because we have a sympathetic heart with Christ. Christ has told us in 2 Peter 3:9, God is not willing that any should perish. This is important around the world, but it's important around the corner. It is important around the state. And there are areas where there are no fundamental Bible teaching, Bible preaching churches. And God's not willing in those areas that those people would perish. And we want to have a sympathetic heart with God that we're not willing that they should perish. And we want to do everything that God would enable us to do. In 2 Corinthians 5:14, it makes the statement, "For the love of Christ constraineth us." It is because we love Christ, and because we love Christ, we love what Christ loves. And that is reaching the lost and, yes, planting churches. Amen. And so the first word is faith. The second word is missions. The third word is giving, an act necessary for the work of missions. It is a means wherein our heart replicates the heart of God. In John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he
gave.
That's right. He gave his most precious, his firstborn, his only begotten. That is our God. Do you want to replicate? We're to put on the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is giving. The mind of our God is giving. And so I'm not here trying to twist your arms. I'm not here trying to manipulate or somehow in the flesh motivate you. I simply want to challenge you spiritually that your heart would be knit with Christ and want to do what Christ done and do what Christ would have us to do. Some will give of their lives to go where God has called. There have been missionaries that have answered the call. And they have gone to areas that were very violent and very tumultuous. And in trying to reach them with the gospel, the recipients of their message murdered them. But in that sacrifice of their lives, many a people at that time said, what a waste of young men's lives. Even a lot of Christians said, what a waste of these young men's lives. Why didn't they go somewhere where they could have had a lifetime of preaching the gospel? But because of their sacrifice, the wife of one of them was able to bring some other missionaries in, and the chief and others got saved, and many in the tribe got saved, and it all went back to the men that sacrificed their lives. Their sacrifice was not for naught. You see, many will give their lives and go around the world and give everything they have in going. Many will give their resources to make their goals going possible. That's what we do as a local church. We give so that they can go. God doesn't call us all to be missionaries. We can't all go and be missionaries. In fact, there have been men who have surrendered to the call of missions and willing to go to the mission field only to discover that before they could leave to the mission field, they had health problems to where they could not go. Not everybody can go to the mission field. But do you know what? We can all give of our resources so they can go and take the gospel. I shared with the church family that came in and worked in our Seedline ministry yesterday, and we're doing Mandarin, and I said we had done another language and that it was shipped and it would get into the communist-controlled area where the Christians are banned. You cannot be a Christian. You cannot have the Word of God. And there would be those that want to take the gospel into their families in that country. And they knew full well by taking John Romans into that region, they would most likely be caught, tortured, and killed. But they were willing to sacrifice their lives to take the gospel to their family and to their neighbors. I said, you know what? We come together in a heated church building. Some of them sat on padded seats and worked away. I said, we have the easy part of the gospel. And in some ways we do have the easy part when we financially give and support our missionaries. Compared to the challenges. Now, our daughter and son-in-law and grandchildren, missionaries to Estonia. Something our church family does not know much of, but there are times that they feel so isolated and so alone. The only way they get to see mom and dad or the grandkids, the grandparents, is through the luxury of modern technology of FaceTime. And we've been able to communicate. But they're in the second most atheistic culture. And getting people to the Lord is a very complicated challenge, just like it was in Prague. They haven't had to lay their life down. But do you know, we still have the easy part. Most of you are able to be around family when necessary. We have the easy part. Both can and will make sacrifices to some degree for the work of missions. Quite some time ago, I read this article about a young man. He was a single man. And because he had wood crate furniture, which fruit would come in and vegetables would come in, that kind of dates the story. But I understand it's a true testimony. He was single, made excellent money. He gave his tithe and his offering to the local church. And he lived with wood crate furniture so he could give to missions everything he could. Now, God didn't call him to the mission field, but he lived a life of sacrifice to make the money to support the missionaries. What a commendation of a man that had a heart for his God and for the lost. Every believer, young or old, can give of his life, give of her life at home or abroad, getting the Great Commission fulfilled. Now, I want us to go to 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. We're going to look at some verses here. Faith, missions, giving. Those three principles and how we support our missionaries and how we are able to partake in the fruit of the gospel going around the world where we cannot go. In 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9, there's some great principles about giving. This church in Macedonia, the churches, or several churches, they were a very impoverished people as believers, a persecuted group of people. They didn't have much. But Paul commends them for their grand testimony of sacrificial giving for the work of the ministry for missions. Let me begin by reading the first five verses. Moreover, brethren, chapter 8, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty, that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. You finish reading these two chapters and a tremendous testimony of Christian giving. In verse 5, and this is foundational, they gave themselves unto the Lord. They first gave their own selves. This is foundational. You see, if I don't do this, if you don't do this, much of what I've said this morning will probably be offensive. And that's not the intent. The idea of giving will just be irritable to you. And think, oh, the preacher's just after some more money. No. The preacher is after getting more work done for the Lord. That's my goal. That's my passion. That is my desire. But for this to really resonate in your heart, whether young or older, if we would first give of ourselves to God and give ourselves to God, the rest of this will be very receptive and a tremendous blessing. One of the great revivalists of yesteryear said the best way to get a revival to start is draw yourself a 3-foot circle, get a piece of chalk, and draw a 3-foot circle on the floor. And then get in that circle and pray to give everything inside that circle to God. That's where revival begins. And you know, when we talk about giving to missions, that's where it really begins. Otherwise, what we give is just either a token or a duty or a responsibility, or, you know, we've got these missionaries and we have to keep up with our duty. You know, I complain about a lot of things I have to pay for. Utilities are going up. And every time I have to write that, I keep thinking, man, this is going up, and I grumble. I go to the gas station and fuel up my vehicle. I've been grumbling lately because fuel prices are pretty near double what they were a year or so ago. Go to the grocery store. You get this little bag and have paid $50. Well, that may be exaggerating, but not by far. I grumble on the way out. Shame on me, but I do. But since a child, I've never grumbled about giving to the Lord. And there's been times we've sacrificed, but never the giving to the Lord. And after all these years of walking and trusting God, I have no complaints and I have no regrets. Amen. I have been happy to give myself to God. This is foundational. The more Christians are called to live for the world. Let me start this over. There are more Christians called to live for the work of Christ than to die for the name of Christ. Every Christian is called upon by God to live for his work and for his name. Only a handful are called upon to die. What a privilege. Then in verses 2 through 3 that we read, a faith to give goes beyond their ability. He said they didn't just give as to what they had, but even above their ability. They were a persecuted people. They were an impoverished people. But they were the most giving people. The one that God, or the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was watching people, the individual that he commended the most for her giving, probably gave the least, but she gave everything. She gave everything she had. It was the widow's mite. And that would, today that would just be pennies. Inflation keep going, it'll probably be dollars. But it's pennies. And he commended her for what she had given. And so here we see that it goes beyond our ability. It is a true trust and a reliance upon God. When we sacrifice and we give to God, it's not thinking this isn't the name and claim it and the gospel of prosperity. If you give 10 extra dollars to God, he's going to give you 100. You give 100, you're going to get 1,000. It's not that at all. That's not what we're talking about. When we sacrifice and we give unto the Lord Jesus Christ, it means we're trusting God simply to meet our needs. Amen. He has gone on to say, when you give, the windows of heaven can be opened and you don't know how much he can give. But you know, I don't give to get rich. I give to get the gospel out and trust God to meet our needs. Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory. This is putting that verse into everyday clothes, living it and practicing it. In verse 4, there is a great personal desire to further the work, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and to take upon us the fellowship of ministering to the saints. You know, it is so wonderful to minister together and take the fellowship of the work of the ministry and to be a part of it. And one of the things that's so exciting about that is because we know the results are eternal. They're not temporal. In verse 9, I do this because I have an overwhelming sense of debt and gratitude for what Christ has done for me. I could live and work all my life and I could never repay him for the full cost of my redemption. We could all work corporately and never repay it for one. We could take all of the wealth of this world and it still would not pay for one. We can't buy our salvation or pay back the debt, but I still feel indebted. And I want to give back to God everything I can. As a symbol of my thanks and gratitude. And then in verse 7, chapter 9 and verse 7. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Out of all of the things that I give out of my income, the one that I take the most joy is giving back to God. But here again, I want to put on the mind of Christ. I believe it is Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, when it talks about Christ and how he went to the cross. It says, who for the joy endured. He didn't do it out of duty. He didn't do it simply out of obedience to his Father, even though it was obedience to the Father. He did it because he had the joy of laying down his life, of giving, that you and I might have eternal life. I don't think, if you're truly a child of God and walking with God, you will not find anything more exciting and more joyful in your life than for somebody to get saved. Especially if you lead them to the Lord. But also, when I heard the testimony from Brother Reddick of this man getting saved, I just wanted to shout glory. And you know what? We have had a part in that fruit. And then verses 15 through 18 in chapter 10, here we read, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labor, but having hope, when your faith is increased, you might want to underline that, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly, to preach the gospel to the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand, but he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. A life of giving by faith becomes a life growing in faith. Amen. This may sound a little bit redundant, but the more you trust the Lord, the more you learn to trust the Lord. Because as you see God reward those who seek him diligently with faith, you realize God doesn't disappoint. And the more you want to trust him. And so a life that gives by faith is a life growing in faith. Let me challenge every believer as we close this morning. First, if you are without Christ, let me deal with unbelievers. If you're without Christ, really all of this is not for you. Now you can give, but you'll not have any blessing from it. You can rejoice when people get saved. You can rejoice in seeing missionaries going. But you're still going to spend an eternity in hell. And so if you're without Jesus Christ, let me encourage you first, repent of your sin and put your faith in Jesus Christ. And then join us in a wonderful journey that God has given us as believers. But for believers, do you have this kind of biblical faith for missions? A strong conviction that Christ has commanded you and that you must strive to help take the gospel to all the world. Have you given yourself to God, living a life for the work of Christ? Are you willing to trust God beyond your ability? So many times they say, well, I don't have talents and I don't have this and I don't have that. Do you know what? They didn't have a whole lot of resources to give. They gave beyond their ability. And God provided and gave. Do you have the desire to furtherance the gospel? Do you have an overwhelming sense of debt and gratitude for what Jesus Christ has done for you? Do you believe God can do this through your life? This is doable by every believer. Now, some may be able to give unto missions more, some may be less, but all God calls upon us to do is do what he enables us to do, and we don't compare ourselves with somebody else, because he also said, they that compare themselves among themselves and with themselves are not wise. God gives to each one uniquely and differently, and we just simply need to have the joy of being faithful what God has given, and that we may serve him with it. Do you give with a cheerful heart? And do you live a life of growing faith? This is the Lord's desire. I challenge you in this great truth and this great practice of faith for the believers. Father, we come to you this morning. And Lord, help us as a church family to grow. And help us to not only be faithful as we give to our missionaries, but Father, help us to have a great passion and a desire. First, that our local church would have the needs that it has for the ministry to be strong and growing. And then that we would be able to give in an abundant way for our missionaries and help the gospel around the world. Use us, O God, as we seek to be your servants. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.